I tried that. I thought it worked. I'd like to open the meeting, and Anita will do our roll call.
Mayor Janice Peters?
Here.
Councilwoman Betty Winholt?
Here.
Councilmember Noah Smuckler?
Present.
Vice Mayor Carla Borchardt?
Here.
Councilmember Rick Grantham?
Here.
Robert Enns, President?
Here.
Vice President Bud McHale? Director Hal Phones? Director Shirley Lyon?
Here.
Director Michael Foster?
Here.
All right, with that, I'm going to open the meeting to public comment period. We have, I believe, a number of people here are interested in speaking our next JPA meeting. Unfortunately, the treatment plant is, and discussion of that is not on our agenda this evening, so we would be unable to respond to your comments. We will be planning on having a report at the next JPA meeting. We have a group of four people that are working to collect information on that. As you may recall from our last meeting, Noah had agreed to write a report. I had agreed to write a report. Noah and I got together and felt that it would be nice if we wrote a report that we could both sign our names to, make it easier for the public. Since that time, we've been able to solicit Michael Foster's help and Rick Grantham's help on that committee. So we have a committee of four right now that are looking at issues of the treatment plant. As I think was discussed at that time, we did take a tour of the Santa Paula treatment plant. We'll have some more information on that later. There is a little bit of information, I think, back on that table in the back. Perhaps you have it that too. So if you have comments on any other item that you'd like to discuss this evening, please come forward. We anticipate this is a fairly short meeting this evening, so we're not asking you to stay here till 10 o'clock just to speak. We'll try to get this business stuff out of the way and then receive your public comment so that we'll know what we'd like to include on the next agenda. So if anyone would like to come forward at this time, please state your name and...
My name is Bill Martini. I'm from Morro Bay, lived in Cayucas for about 35 years, so kind of familiar with both issues. And I realize, or, you know, you just mentioned as far as talking about the sewer treatment plant and that. I wasn't sure if it was appropriate. My wife and myself, along with Noah, Robert Enns, and that, we actually made a tour, went down to Santa Paula to the treatment plant. And as opposed to talking about the treatment plant itself, it was extremely impressive, the new technology, the clean water, the footprint was smaller, no odor. And the way it was explained, it would actually be less expensive than what's currently proposed. But what I wanted to fill everyone in on was, number one, when we were actually down there, and this is just, I know I talked to the Fillmore next door, and just for the general public, the... Santa Paula plant, they stated that they were about 2 years and $2 million into their project when they switched horses and went with this other perk or the treatment plant that they just opened. Their comments was it was the best thing we ever did. And next door, and this is a city of about 30,000, they have a capacity of 4.2 million gallons, as opposed to, I think, Morro Bay, Cayucas, around 1.5 million or someplace in there. Santa Paula was about the same size as Cayucas Morro Bay, 15,000. And when I was talking to the mayor of Santa Paula, Fillmore, she said that they were going the route of Morro Bay, and it was going to cost them $28 million, ended up costing them $80 million. That's what it cost them. And she said it was the worst mistake they ever made. If they had had a chance to do it over, Santa Paula would absolutely be the way they went. The reason I'm mentioning this is they put an invitation out for anyone on the board or the audience that wants to come down and actually view the treatment plant. to see what's operational, how it's running, that they'd love to have anyone down. The group right behind us was from Malibu. For the members that haven't seen it, the invitations there, it was really, it's impressive. I mean, I was mentioning the other night, the raw sewage came in one end, not an odor. At the other end, pure water came out. Noah was drinking out of the tap. I mean, I don't know if I would have done it, but it was, 15 minutes later, they're pumping it into the ground and they're shipping it to the farmers. It's highly impressive, and it really can be put any place. It's a smaller footprint. It's all underground, so if it needed to go in a floodplain, I'm not suggesting it, but it's like a boat. It's like a cement boat, totally encapsulated, and so a flood would not even affect it. And all the buildings are built on top of it. It's like a slab, and you could have a community center there. You could have a teen center. It's totally usable. The buildings look like any government building. So I guess what I'm stating now is not so much the details or the facts, but it probably wouldn't hurt with the invitation to go down and see the alternative, and just it would be a win-win. And if for some reason it's not the right choice, at least you have that information. And that's just my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone else?
Just a bit east of the present sewage plant. And whenever they have an interruption or a breakdown, you can't imagine how unfortunate and how unpleasant it is for the people in the high school, for the motels around there and so on, when this thing seems to malfunction. The thing that really impressed me on our trip down was the very fact that my background and profession is reclamation agriculture. And reclamation involves a number of series of steps that have to be taken in a timely fashion, because if they're not, you sometimes lose a whole season. And I worked throughout the parts of California and the Middle East and so on. But the thing that really was impressive was from the first point there where the sewage comes in, and this is where the trash is separated from the leaves and bottles, everything that washed down the sides of streets, to the actual sewage, the separation there. The amount of fail-safe equipment that they have of every stage of the operation, it's a chain operation. We call that a redundancy or a fail-safe or a backup. This was just amazing to me that they had that much, we go on ahead. If there's there's a failure in one area, in part of the chain, they switch right over to the other one. This Koch Engineering, it was originally the Puron company, it was taken over by Koch. The engineering of this thing was immaculate. And as I mentioned, that was probably the most impressive thing I saw, was the very fact that not only was it a clean and straightforward operation, but the amount of redundant equipment that is provided in this unit is just very impressive. I don't think I've ever seen any facility that had much forethought. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Good evening. My name is John Barta. I'm a resident of Morro Bay and a ratepayer in Morro Bay. Better, faster, cheaper. Better, faster, cheaper. Where have we heard that before? Better, faster, cheaper. You know, there's always an appealing solution that's out there just beyond what we're going to do right now that's better, faster, cheaper. We heard this in Los Osos a few years ago. They formed a CSD to do it better, faster, cheaper. Before better, faster, cheaper, the cost was $116 million, a shocking number by any account. However, I understand the current number is $195 million, and they still don't have a sewer over technology down the road. As far as the issues go, the facts, there's a lot of rosy talk about the PERC system. My understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure you have experts that can answer these questions, that this new PERC system is, in fact, brand new. So as a brand new system, it really doesn't have a track record of how well it works over the long haul. There is one other system, I understand, that PERC has installed in California, a little town called Mountain House. And it's my understanding that Mountain House has had some serious mechanical problems. Maybe they tried to fix those problems with the new plant, and that's why they got all this equipment we've heard about. But the fact of the matter is, you know, that the council made a decision, you all made a decision as to the type of technology we're going to use. There's a known cost now. You've moved this thing down the road. You made a promise to the Regional Water Quality Control Board that we would have a plant online in 2014. And what I see happening here is people that don't want to accept the technology and the decision that was made, trying to turn that around and delay things. And we know what happens when you get delay. It's not better, faster, cheaper. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Anyone else? Okay, I'll remind you that... go ahead.
Hi, Kevin Rice. I don't think I could have said it better in the prior... The other thing that I wanted to bring up, really the prime thing, is money and fiscal responsibility. We're in a time where we can't spend twice as much, four times as much, to put together something that might be one iota better. We need to get this thing done so we don't turn into a Los Osos, and we need to get it done for the taxpayers and for the promises that we've made. We've got documents out, and we need to follow through. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I'll remind you that we will discuss, have another opportunity to provide public comment on this treatment plant here near the end of the meeting. With that, we'll go to item A, the consent calendar. Bruce, we will be pulling item A2 so that you can introduce Steve Hyland. So, Mayor Peters, if you'd like to lead the way on item A1.
Okay. Anybody want to pull A1, or can I have a motion approving it?
I would like to ask a question, then move it. I don't need to pull it, just ask a question.
Okay.
On the back page of the minutes, it talks about, I just didn't know if there was a time frame attached to that.
On which item are you talking about? I'm sorry.
We're on the minutes. On the back page, the second paragraph. It was mentioned that... it's not the minutes? Oh, pardon me. Pardon me. Pardon me, Mayor.
Do not.
I'll go ahead.
Want to approve the minutes?
I'll go ahead and approve. Okay. Yes, A1.
Second.
Second by Smuckler. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay.
Okay, Cayuca, same motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, with that, we'll go to item A2. And Bruce, I'd just like to have you give a little brief opening, and please introduce Steve Hyland. And if he has any comments, please include those in our
Sure. I'll lead it off by... introducing our project engineer. This is Steve Hyland from Montgomery Watson. So he'll be here if there's any questions as we move through the staff report. Basically, a notice to proceed in mid-March. We've had a couple coordination meetings with Steve and his team, in an attempt to kind of develop the short-term work plan, develop the schedule for the design. And most of our efforts to date have been centered on really flows and loads. We're looking real hard at the chapters that Corolla did in the facilities master plan. And we're attempting to do further analysis on those numbers and make sure that when we're all said and done, we have a treatment plant that's appropriately sized. So there's been a lot of... data being funneled back and forth between MWH and both city and district staff, and city and district staff have also met on a number of occasions to kind of start to hammer out the flows and loading parameters, average daily flows, peak flows, max flows. We have also been discussing coordination with the environmental, the EIR folks, the geotechnical and the flood studies that have to go on, and just a discussion of basic overall plant design. We've also touched a little bit on process and equipment selection, but it's all been very preliminary at this stage. Really, what we're trying to do is, and then from there, bring it to the full board of the JPA. My guess is, and I'll see if I can get Steve to acknowledge, is that we're probably a couple months out from bringing it to the TAC. But we are it's really a key step here, because if we can get the amendment in front of the boards for adoption, then we can turn that more detailed project description over to the EIR folks. So it's really a critical first step, and I know that MWH is working on that as we speak. And we're hoping to bring it sooner, but I would think 2 months is probably more realistic.
Okay, Bruce, thank you. I thought perhaps Steve could give us a little background on how you got here, Steve, and some of what your professional experiences are, and I'm assuming this is not your first treatment plant.
I'll use the stand-up microphone. First of all, I'd like to say good evening to everybody. It's a pleasure being here. I've been looking forward to meeting all of you. On behalf of MWH and our team of local consultants, which include RRM, EDA, and FUGRO, with the offices here, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for approving the flow and loadings for the wastewater treatment plant. We'll be discussing that tomorrow. And then shortly after that, we hope to issue a draft of the Amendment Number 2 for the Facility Master Plan. And I actually hope that we can move a little bit faster than Bruce indicated. I'm hoping by the end of June we can have a version that we can put forward to you for your review. Mr. Ince,
I just wanted to have you explain to our constituents here a little bit about your background and your experience in
Certainly.
Your profession.
Okay. I grew up in Iowa and went to school at Iowa State and got my bachelor's degree, went to UC Berkeley for a master's. My entry-level job was with the Los Angeles County Sanitation Districts. Worked there for about 2.5 years. And then I started working with MWH in 1975. And since that time, I've worked on all types of wastewater projects. They've allowed me to contaminate a few water projects here and there, but mostly stayed in the wastewater side. During that time, I've lived and worked in Northern California, Idaho, Alaska, project manager for what I'd call the ill-fated design of the wastewater system for the community of Los Osos. I worked on that project for over 4 years. We delivered a project that we bid and then was stopped because of the recall election. So, full disclosure.
Very good. And Bruce, while Steve's up here, you related a little story to me about someone saying to you something about how lucky we were. Can you relate that story to the present company?
Well, I've just had a number of equipment vendors and people in the industry that have, when I've told them who we had as our project design and our project engineer, they said we'd made a very good selection and that they were surprised that they were working on a project that is as small as ours.
So anyway, that's a credit to you, Steve.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the compliments.
Welcome, and we're happy to have you on board. Shirley has a question here for you, Steve, but just an aside. Shirley?
It seems to me there were so many different...
City Center, and wasn't it mostly underground with a park on top?
That's correct. We'd actually designed an MBR facility. All of the treatment facility, including basins and equipment, were all to be housed inside a building enclosure. A portion of the facility, particularly the aeration basins, were going to be buried, and there was a design of a dog park on top of the buried aeration basin. So it was a pretty sophisticated design that included a lot of aesthetic treatment because of its location.
That was my understanding. And are you familiar with the PERC? Does that in any way compare with what PERC is suggesting?
I've not seen the PERC facility at Santa Paula. I think there are some similarities there. but I not having been there, I can't speak to the specifics of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Steve. You done? Okay, Bruce. All right. With that, we can go to item B1, ratification of a decision between the City of Morro Bay and Cayuga Sanitary District to pursue a single loan from the state revolving.
Last meeting, there was discussion concerning the pursuit of a single loan from the SRF fund from the state of California for funds for building the wastewater treatment plant. In the past, we had anticipated maybe using each agency getting their own loan, but after discussion with staff at State Board, it appears that, the easiest or the most streamlined method is to actually get the two agencies to have a legal financial agreement between them and then file for the loan as a single entity or through the City of Morro Bay. The council and the district board actually voted to approve that measure, but there was a typo, or we didn't agendize the title correctly so that you could not take action at that time. So it was recommended that you bring this item back and then re-vote on it with the proper titling.
Okay, with that, there is a staff report, B1, and the recommendation is for council and board to ratify their decision to pursue a single loan from the state revolving fund with a legal financial agreement between the city and the district. Cayucas, would you care to put that motion forward?
Yes, please. If we look at some kind of alternative funding, what kind of obligation are we under with the state? Do you know, Mr. Keough? Can this loan be canceled? Do we carry it? Does anybody know, since Ms. Slayton's not here?
You know, at this point, I don't know at what point you can't back out, but we're into the very preliminary stages. I mean, we're only doing credit checks and whatnot right now, and I think the idea is to pursue with the city as the lead agency, and I'm sure we can bring that question back at the next meeting maybe and get an answer on what the legal obligations are, unless one of the attorneys has a comment to that effect. I can't answer that question.
All right. Oh. Mr. Schultz is coming forward.
Good evening, Rob Schultz, city attorney for Morro Bay. As far as tonight's decision, it wouldn't affect that at all. It'll be way down the line when the documents are all drawn up and when you actually sign on the dotted line for the final approval of that financing. Then there would probably be penalties or backing out. But for this decision tonight, it's just to formalize the fact that we're just doing one loan instead of two, and we'll start pursuing that.
And that's based on, because we had talked about both, just for the audience to know that we're going with one because that's what the state board said we have.
Press for an RFP for project management. Bruce, do you want to introduce that?
Sure. At the last meeting, there was discussion about hiring a project manager to assist city and district staff with managing and coordinating the design and environmental process and a little bit of the funding process for this wastewater treatment plant project. The scope of work that is contained in the RFP that is included in the staff report basically has PM or project management through the end of design. And at that time, the city and the district could decide whether either to just go with a construction manager or kind of see where they are in the process and decide whether to renew or extend that contract. So following that, the meeting last time, staff from the city and district prepared an RFP for project management. As I said, the RFP is in front of you. It has a lot of input from both city and district staff and the legal counsels for both agencies. The, you know, I guess the primary probably area of concern. So whatever we certainly want a person to be a kind of a figurehead for the project and have all the information routed through. But some of that, a lot of information will still be produced by or need to be gathered by district and city staff. So we have, there's several bulleted items on page 3 of the RFP, and they include advising and representing the city and the district, in the replacement of their treatment plant, providing project management, coordinating project activities and consultants, assisting and coordinating in the preparation of the environmental and the permit documents. It should be noted that they are not going to be involved in the development of the CEQA process, because that will be a function that is a city function as the lead agency. They would be the owner's representative during that process. So they would be at the permit hearings to answer questions and whatnot. They would include the assistance in the preparation of SRF application and the loan process, assist and coordinate activities associated with design. We will be doing some sort of value engineering. We're going to have to hire construction management services at some point, and their role would include assisting in the development and evaluation. And like I say, ultimately we're looking for a time and materials contract. So it's not really a lump sum contract. It's going to be for an amount not to exceed, but they will proceed sort of on an hourly basis as we need them. And with that, I think I'd open it up for questions.
Morrow Bay, you want to lead the way?
Yeah, just one, Bruce. Is it not realistic then that a project manager could take care of the value engineering portion of this?
No, my understanding is that if you're going to go through the SRF process, I've always thought of value engineering as kind of a third-party objective look at what you're doing and analyzing a potential alternative with the project you've chosen. So I think they would assist in getting a value engineering firm on board and or the scope of work and whatnot, but I don't think they would be actually doing the actual value engineering.
And is that just at certain steps through the process, or is that ongoing from start to finish, or what?
My belief is, and maybe Lewis or somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the state requires it at 30%, but I'm not sure. But I know that after looking through the SRF application,
that's a date that we're projecting and fairly stable.
We at this point, the sooner we could get somebody on board, the better, in my opinion. There's a lot of moving parts right now, and a lot. I'm just looking through the dates here. That is probably the soonest we can bring it back to you, because I don't think we could get it to you in July. I don't think we can issue it, evaluate them, and get them back in by the time the July meeting rolls through. But certainly we're going to try and get something on the August meeting.
Okay. And then on page 27, it starts to get into the part of the contract that deals with, we have a temporary suspension clause in there. There's no need for a cancellation clause because it's on a time and material basis. Is that correct? Or I wasn't able to find the cancellation clause, and it seems like that'd be something we'd want to cover ourselves with.
I'd turn that one over to the legal counsels of either.
Okay. Mr. Schultz said he'll put it in there, so thank you.
I'm going to go back to your question about the date. If indeed you do get the applicants reviewed and everything sooner than the August date, is there...
Once we put this thing out on the streets and we see what sort of interest we get.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, if we can move it faster, that's okay.
Believe me, I would love
to. Noah has another question.
It's actually a bit more of a comment. We talked a little bit about facilitation skills for the project manager and the challenge of two different bodies working together on a project, and I'm happy to see that it seems like facilitation is alluded to in the qualifications and descriptions on page 12. So I wanted to comment there and hope that that is definitely part of what you would be evaluating as far as their skills and ability to not only engage the board but the public and make sure that we're doing the best we can to be open and authentic with them.
I think we're looking for somebody with good skill sets to bring together, to work both between the city and the district, because I know that's not always an easy position to be put in, and I'm certain that we will be looking at the PR relation, that part of it as well.
Great.
Okay, Betty, you had a question?
Yes, your term flexibility, I am interpreting to mean that the how often we need him is not steady, him or her, is not a set amount of time. that it's kind of a little bit now and maybe a lot later, and then it may go back and forth. Is that what you meant by flexibility?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I think there may be time periods where they have very little to do because they've tasked people with certain things, or there are tasks that are ongoing, and then those are all going to collide at one time. So they might have 5 hours 1 week and 40 hours the next week. So I think that's kind of why we wanted to do it on the time and materials basis.
And is it right that you're not necessarily looking at just individuals, but firms or companies? And then if we go with a firm or a company, will we always have the same person or just anyone from that firm?
I believe that we will require them to give us, we have to give, my guess is, written approval if they want to change project manager. They might be able to change the lower level staff people, but the person, the figurehead that you're going to get will should be one person is what I would think. That's what I'm shooting for.
So we're really hiring another firm rather than an individual, because I would think an individual can't afford to be on and off so flexibly.
You know, there are a couple people that I can think of right now that are individuals that could perform this function. And what we try to do is write it so that either an individual or a firm could apply, and they could kind of compete on an equal basis.
And then could you talk a little bit about, because we had asked that you come back and look at doing this in with someone we hire in-house versus someone that's contracted, and it looked like you could have up to $3,000 savings if you did an in-house thing, depending on who you hired. And so I'm not sure I'm convinced of the advantages to hiring an outside person.
You know, we did do that, and thanks for bringing that up. I forgot to mention that earlier, is that one of the issues that we talked about last time was hiring an individual and actually having them be a Morro Bay employee or a sanitary district employee. We did a quick, there's a table on the back with that discusses an independent contractor versus a city employee, and we evaluated cost and salary, who they would report to, office space and materials needs, length of the term and stability, the liability in terms of their work product, and what happens once we let this person go. There was discussion that they would probably be eligible for unemployment benefits, and that was, I think, a detractor to the finance director. There's also a question of liability. If this person makes an error in this process, who would be responsible for that error? And in the case of hiring a contractor, you're basically going to go after the contractor. They're going to have insurance for that process. In terms of who they report to, if it's a city employee, they're not reporting. They're going to work for the city and the district in the sense that you're both paying the salary, but they would be a city employee, and that's something that the sanitary district would have to wrestle with a little bit, I think. In terms of salary savings, I think you could save some money doing that, but kind of the inclination I got from both the public works director or the public services director and the finance director was they thought maybe the independent contractor was the better choice based on their analysis.
But you said they could also be a district employee, doesn't have to be a city employee.
That's correct. And at that point, they would report back to the district, and the city would have to think about the liability associated with that.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm thinking about is that if we're talking about a savings of $36,000 a year over a 4-year or 5-year period, that's a significant amount of money to me. That's a... what, $180,000?
Just one point of clarification.
Yeah.
Currently, the design process is expected to take somewhere in the 15-month period. It could go a little longer. It could go a little shorter, but let's say it's 15 months. If you bring this person on board, let's say, and they start in September, we'll probably be 3 or 4 months into design. Their contract would only run for the length of design. So really, this person is the there's a lot of moving parts to get to where we're going to put this project out and bid it and actually start constructing. And their job is to manage those parts and bring them together. So technically, you're only going to have this person under contract for probably about 15 months. So that saves a little bit of the 4-year cost. You're seeing a little more cost up front in the first year, but you don't see that ripple through the next 4 years.
So why wouldn't we just have the person who's doing the design now do this for us instead of hiring another and just keep on the design team?
You know, that's something that I think we kicked around at the last meeting, if I'm not correct. Mm-hmm. That is a possibility. We could expand the scope of work of MWH to include some of these tasks. Mm-hmm. And I think my recollection is that there was more from the TAC meeting. Maybe Robert and Shirley can help me out here. I think there was more inclination not to have the design team do it, but to have an objective, kind of another right. set of eyes watching over the whole process and helping us through that. And I'll turn it over to the TAC members if they want to.
That's the way I remember the discussion going, that we wanted the objective opinion of an outside person.
I agree. I'm the third-party rule kind of guy. I think it should be an outside party. Shirley?
Well, I agree with that. I think we should have a third party, and I certainly think that we should have an independent contractor as opposed to an employee, because there's a lot of ramifications when you hire somebody and have them on your payroll as opposed to an independent contractor. And I'm very familiar with that because that's how I operate in my business. So I think we should think long and hard before we create an employee position.
Well, if we're uncomfortable with the employee, it seems to me that Montgomery Watson is a third party and would be objective. And I would seem to extend their contract for a little more money than hiring on another person for $250,000 would make a big difference. And so I guess I'm going to speak in favor of doing that. We just talked about this at last month's JPA, yeah. And you voted, I'm the only one who voted not to do this, to have MWH be that third party, and so now you want to change back to this, because this is, to me, is a small price to pay for liability and it not being our liability. It's the difference of maybe $12,000 to $15,000 over the 15-month period, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but that's a small price for them carrying the liability versus the city and district.
So you're saying we're switching voting positions, that now you're in favor of it?
I was perfectly fine with MWH. You guys voted to spend up to $250,000 for this person. That's the path we've headed down, and now you want to change and go back, so I'm confused.
Well, I think over 4 weeks you can have a, you know, ponder. And we know that we were coming back this month to talk about it. So if there's a possibility that we can save money by staying with Montgomery Watson, that's fine. If there's if the council and the board votes otherwise, then we'll continue as we majority voted last time. Well, it seems to me that the discussion was all about the fact that we wanted somebody to have the oversight over Montgomery Watson to make sure that they were doing everything on time and everything else that we wouldn't be able to do with our employees because they would be doing other things. And that was the whole purpose.
And it is included in the budget, in our budget for the project, the expenditure.
So.
Okay. Any other discussion?
The only thing I'd like to add is when we talk about objectivity and our interest in the skill set that a project manager, whatever their however they're formatted, would bring to the table. I was attracted to the idea of someone that had a broad range of experience and awareness about new delivery models, different technologies, different ways to meet this path, and that we weren't hiring someone that was going to look at our plan and be inclined to rubber stamp it. And that would be the number one concern that I would have, is we'd be hiring someone to basically hold our hand through a process that we've already predetermined. I want someone that can come in and challenge us to create the best project possible. So some have said that's not possible, and it wouldn't be done in that manner just because that's how these processes play out. But to me, that's the value, besides the facilitation element of the project manager. And I would hope that would be something that would be included in their skill set.
So is that a reason why you're in favor then of not going with the design people, that you want another party?
Particularly because I foresee some really challenging decisions still in this project, and I want someone that is objective, not tied to our initial plan, Montgomery Watson Harris's project and work, and to really give us a valuable, objective experience to make these tough decisions. And I think we will have some tough decisions coming forward, and there's going to be value in having the person with that skill set on board.
Rick, did you have some?
I could make a motion, and then we can continue this discussion. So I move approval of B2.
Is there a second?
Did you want to talk about how it would be oriented?
Second.
Second.
Okay, Carla, second. Discussion.
No, we can talk about it. I just think it's important to have an independent person on board. We did the math here a minute ago, and we did see it's about 12,000 more. But like we said, the liability is huge. The fact that we have someone that's independent that's reporting to both entities, I think, is really big, instead of Morro Bay dictating to Cayucas or the other way around. We keep this person as long as we want that person on board. And we're held harmless for errors, omissions, and other acts of negligence. I think that's a cheap insurance policy.
And I'm going to vote in favor of this as well, in part because I see that we have some time to continue other conversations that we're having before we actually sign the contract and put them on board. So I see some flexibility there in case there is a change.
And I support other and further discussions with that person to make sure that they know what we expect and what we want out of the project.
Great. So. And I guess my only other request would be that I would like to see at least the technical advisory committee or the board have some interaction with at least the final applicants or applicants before it comes to a meeting for that final vote. A bit frustrating at the last round to feel it was all through paper. We didn't have any real tangible experience with any of the applicants. So I think our board offers more of a community perspective on it, and the engineer perspective is very important, of course, but to have that community touch and knowledge is especially because they are going to be facilitating our discussions, it will be important to know how we respond to them, let's say.
I just want to make one other comment before we vote, and that's that we've had some concerns sometimes about the RFP process and how inclusive it was and everything. This is 53 pages of an RFP. So I think we're covering pretty much everything.
Well covered.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Cayucas.
Thank you. Thank you for some of the comments from the Morro Bay side. That saved us a little time. Cayucas had an experience where they used a project manager from the design firm, and it always turned out that the project manager was more in favor of the design firm than Cayucas. So we've had our feet wet on this one, so I agree with where we're headed with this. Bruce, good job on the RFP. Thank you very much. And a motion from Cayucas would be in order.
Before you go forward, I just did want to confirm that the cancellation clause was something that we would add. Okay, great.
Motion for approval of item B2.
I move to approve.
Okay.
I'd like to.
Second. Okay. Discussion?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up, too. I just think that with any contract for us, it doesn't take anything to have. I'm looking at page 28. We have termination of agreement, and it's blank. We can terminate the agreement for occurrence of a stated event, and we have the right elsewhere to temporarily suspend the agreement, but this is a consulting contract. We ought to be able to determine it with a little bit of notice, and I think that should be in the contract.
I apologize. There is an 8.1 that's missing off here that talks about that termination. It's just where that page is 28. There should be a clause in there. It's the clause that was inserted into the previous Montgomery Watson one, and we'll make sure we get it in this one.
Okay. So it's on page 29. It's at the top of page 29.
I know. It's a little bit even more than that. It allows us for any reason to give notice for termination. So, and that's usually in any time and material. Contracts have that. For some reason, it's dropped off, and we got to make sure it's in our template one.
So are we okay with the motion that we made, or do
yes.
we need to... Okay.
Yes, yes, you're okay with that, and we'll make sure we get in there, and you'll see that contract when it comes back to you in August for that approval of the contract with whoever it's with.
Okay.
But we'll make sure it gets in the RFP when it goes out.
Okay, and I would... any other discussion? I would just like to, by way of discussion, thank Bruce for... his past years of service as project manager for the same price as whatever it takes to run a treatment plant. Thank you, Bruce. And speaking to Steve Hyland, Steve, this is what we're trying to do, hire you a go-to guy. So you have somebody that you communicate with who coordinates for you, schedules all of these items with the Coastal Commission, the Regional Water Board, tries to keep Montgomery, Watson, and Harza on a fast track. Maybe you'd like to speak to that as part of our overall project management.
I'm in full support of the approach you're taking. I think with the two entities that are involved, there's coordination there, and I think a third party would really serve you well. In addition, for a project like this, you have a myriad of activities that have to be coordinated associated with your EIR, your SRF loan application, all types of other activities to make this project go. And I really support your approach here because I think it would benefit all parties. We'd like to focus on the technical side of the project and focus on the design.
Thank you, Steve. Any other comments?
Yeah, I'd like to also thank Bill Callahan for the work that he's done in putting this together, too. He's been running his day job and doing this as well. And, I hope that this person will give them a little bit of help and relief. So, thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Mike. Every once in a while, Bill complains about how busy he is, and I get excited. I say, in this economy, if you got a job, you should be really happy that you're busy. Okay, with that, I'd ask for approval of B2.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All in favor. Okay, with that...
Mr. Enns, before we move on,
yes.
The comment that Mr. Smuckler made about wanting to do some more or do a little review before they come back with the final, do we need to make a motion about that to be involved with that, or is that just something staff will take into consideration?
I just allow staff to do that for us.
Okay.
You good with that, Bruce? Thank you. Okay, item C1, consideration to pay capital costs associated with the new treatment plant based on our capacity rights. I think Cayucas put forward the idea to do that, and I'll just open it for discussion at this time. Cayucas, any comments? Morro Bay?
Any comments, anyone? We like it.
Okay.
I would think we'd want to say what's going on here so the public knows how we're breaking this down.
Okay. We have, in our agreement with Morro Bay, paid for all things on the basis of flow. That does not signify what the ownership of the plant is, but it does talk about how we pay for all the O&M. In the design of the construction of this new treatment plant, we had to decide how we would be sharing that cost. What we've done so far is we have paid, Cayucas has paid based on flow up to this point. Our flow rates are maybe 25% of the total, so we've been paying 25% of all the bills so far. We're anticipating that we'll own about 28%, maybe 29% of the capacity of the new plant. And we felt it was fair to pay on the new plant based on the capacity that we wanted in the plant. So that's what we're doing. We've offered to do that so that we don't, our concern was we would get behind in paying and then someday decide to pay on capacity and we'd be way in the red. So we'd like to keep up with all the payments as we go. Any other comments, Betty?
Then is the third option based on ownership, and we've never entertained that, right? That isn't it a 60-40 ownership of the plant? And did the technical committee ever discuss whether to go that way or not? Because the quote that we've got here says it will be by capacity unless otherwise agreed, and I didn't know if that other agreed discussion had ever occurred.
No, we haven't, but I mean, as you may recall, we've sort of tried to divide up some assignments on rewriting of the JPA, and we should be covering that in the JPA when we rewrite that.
It's being worked on, yeah.
Thank you.
But if we decide this now, even if we rewrite it later, we're already hooked into the capacity.
We're just talking about how we're going to pay at this time. We may change the capacity numbers around a little bit, but we'll track paying if we change those numbers. Okay, motion from Cayucas on item C1 for approval.
I move that we approve item C1.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion
aye.
Carries. Mayor Peters.
Okay, Morobe.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Okay, thank you. Now, we will once again open for discussion of public comment. As you may recall, there's a brief report here on our tour of the Santa Paula plant. And again, I wanted to, and just before we have you come up, thank you, Barry, I'd like to ask each of the four members of our committee to make a brief statement. Noah, would you like to lead?
Sure. Thank you. And following our last meeting, we did discuss touring the Santa Paula water treatment plants, and we were talking about, as Mr. Enns pointed out at the beginning of the meeting, we were talking about writing dueling reports on our experience of that trip. We did have a very enjoyable trip. We're thankful for the reception that we received from the community of Santa Paula, the representatives there, and PERC Water. They toured us around the plant. Mr. Foster and Mr. Grantham and myself and members of the public were able to make the tour. It was well worth the effort. I think we all saw things that sparked ideas and values of interest and so on that we are bringing back and will, I think, have a better project from that experience and ultimately end up with a better project for the community. Now, there's still a lot of questions in our minds coming out of the tour. It was about a two-hour tour. And subsequently, the questions that we had were mostly on the financial components and how the delivery of the design, build, operate, finance model could fit in with our project and our current plan. So we, 2 days ago, had about a three-hour meeting with representatives of PERC, and also Mr. Callahan sat in on that meeting, and we're able to talk quite a bit about how the process could proceed from there. And my observations generally on that meeting were very positive. I felt that the dialogue was good, that we were authentically researching and looking into the idea further. Some of the recommendations that have come out of that meeting, I'm confident we're going to follow through with. And really, right now, what I've heard from the public and what I personally have been very interested in is an authentic, transparent evaluation of this option. We all realize that we're going to live with the results of this project for 30 years or more, and there will be some significant impacts in the site, wherever it is located. And so it's really important for us to take this time and take a last look as we have the opportunity to. And I think we are, we're going to be getting to that point where we can take a look at those numbers and make sure, double check, that we absolutely do have the best value project for the community. So those are my comments. And I do appreciate the work and time that the four of us have put into it. I think it's been well worth it.
Yeah, well said, Noah. It's always interesting when you go tour any plant, you're always going to find something that you haven't seen before at any other one. And I think it was valuable, and it did bring up a lot more questions than we had prior to being there. But just to dispel one thing, we've been hearing a lot about the innovative new treatment processes, and Perk even acknowledged at yesterday's meeting that this isn't anything new. It's been around for a long time. We just configure it a little differently than some places do for different reasons, for a smaller footprint or, different things like this. But it was different from most plants that I've seen in the past. I've seen mostly traditional. It was educational, and it makes me think about standards that should be applied no matter which route we go. And if we do go another route, at least we have learned things from this tour that we can incorporate that we feel are valuable in what we should demand from our project, whichever way we go. But it was really nice that we could all go down there from two different agencies and pretty much agree on a paper that we did following the tour and talking about what we liked about it, what we maybe didn't like that much, and what our next step should be. So thanks for, allowing me to go along with you guys. I appreciate it. And it was valuable time well spent.
Thank you, Rick. Michael?
I think I said everything that I wanted to say in this report. I was glad to have attended, and it was an impressive plant. We tend to compare it. I think all 10 of us on this have this same objective, which is to provide the best solution at the least cost to the ratepayers of this community, and I can tell you that we are pursuing every avenue that comes to our attention to meet that objective.
All right, thank you, Michael. I think it's really enough said. Our goal, again, is to allow the public to be informed. The people sitting in this room are who are going to pay the bill. So we're doing our very best to find out if there's some alternative out there. By way of that, I will acknowledge that we did have a meeting, was it yesterday, Noah? And that meeting was with the president of Perk Water and with the chairman and CEO of Perk Water. So we're not just talking to the guys at the bottom. We're getting the facts from the top down. We will be speaking with Steve Hyland, will allow us to sneak in and have a discussion with MWH, and so that we'll do a little research over there too, and like to come forward. And if there are things that you think we should consider, our committee, look into and have the facts for you, that's what we'd like to hear tonight. Barry?
Yes, Barry Brannon from Morro Bay. I'll make this brief. First, I would like to thank each one of you individually, if I could, for the extra effort. I know it takes a lot from our busy lives, and I know you're all trying to make a living, and I know that each one of you have had the highest level of interest in the community, and it really shows, and I want to thank you for that. The one thing that I've heard tonight which bothers me, and let me go back, I'm a graduate engineer, and I've spent 40 years in construction, built a lot of different things, service stations, bulk plants, and I'm quite surprised, and maybe I misunderstood, but whenever you were building something for a customer, first you'd sit down with a customer, your boss is your customer, and say, okay, what do you really want to accomplish? What is the scope of work? Do you like lots of windows? Do you like big overhangs? And then you go to design people and say, all right, I want you to design this. And I kind of feel that we have the cart before the horse. We've asked someone to design something for us, and we should be able, I bet you here tonight, and haven't told them what we want yet. And that bothers me. The most impressive thing I saw was the tertiary treatment. You can accomplish tertiary treatment a lot of different ways. One way is with chemicals. Well, yeah, you can bleach it and put all kinds of stuff in it. But there's some unique things like ultraviolet. And Mr. Grantham talked about it briefly. The ultraviolet can pull some of the salts out of it. My point is, I really feel that we, or you, haven't made a very clear checklist of what you want, because it makes it a lot easier for the designers. And that's what something that I feel is missing. But here again, I want to say that it's a wonderful thing to see tonight, the change, and I think that we're learning from each other, and I want to thank you for it.
Thank you, Barry. And I'd like to point out that Barry took his time out and did come down to Santa Paula with us and look at the plant. So he speaks from some personal experience, and thank you for that time, Barry. There is a facilities master plan. I think it might be good for someone to share that with Barry, make sure he's seen it. Thanks. Anyone else?
Can I just point out that the facilities master plan is available on the website? So
well, thanks,
if you go to the city website under wastewater treatment, it is
beyond and shows a real conscientious effort to get us the best plant possible, and I want to thank you for that. I did a stint as a process engineer working in protein purification, basically breaking up E. coli cells and deriving the protein in an aqueous setting. It wasn't sewage treatment, but most days it just felt like that. So I can tell you a little bit about what I saw in terms of the efficiency of that plant. I do feel that, yeah, you're right. There's, you know, membrane plants, they've been around for a while, but membrane technology has improved greatly. And what I saw was 0.04 micron holes in a long filter that looks like a Q-tip. I should have brought the section of filter that they gave me tonight. But basically, that'll screen out viruses, and that's really significant. The design that they're using is designed to be, you know, maximum energy efficient. It's designed for, you know, maximum flow rate. What I saw there was a very efficient plant on a smaller footprint. In many ways, I think, you know, you're looking at the Mercedes-Benz of sewage treatment plants, and just as when we're confronted with that choice, when, you know, if we have the opportunity to buy a Mercedes-Benz, you can do it one of two ways. You can do it with the traditional financing if you've got the cash and the down payment and that sort of thing go up. The city of Morro Bay is covered. If energy is saved, the operator splits the savings with the city of Morro Bay. So that's not a bad deal. I think ultimately what you're looking at is you have to look at the mic shut off. You just have to look at the overall cost, whether the over the long haul, the 30-year lease ends up being less expensive for you than financing it by traditional means. And thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Bill Martini again. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of follow up, and that was part of the attractiveness of what PERC was offering, and I'm not saying others weren't, is it was really a no out-of-pocket expense. It was like a monthly lease rent on a car, and you could basically be leasing, like Walter said, a Mercedes-Benz and have lease payments. They explained it like for a VW, so they guarantee the lease amount. And you would have to get those figures at the end of 30 years. It's set. You have no risk. They do all the upfront costs, and this is the whole different philosophy. And then at the way they explained it, at the end of 30 years, they turn the plant over to Morro Bay, Cayucas, and you actually own the plant. But rather than a rundown, when they got done, it ballooned to $80 million. That's not involved in this type of scenario. I just wanted to basically, from my point of view, the main push I had on this was, if you're doing what's virtually a brand new plant, I've always said maybe there's another location that it would be the same cost rather than in Morro Bay on prime oceanfront property and, of course, in the floodplain. And my main thinking was, yeah, 40 years ago, people didn't worry about oceanfront property. You built the, you know, the sewer plant right there where it's, you know, motel, hotel, or it could be, you know, income producing for Morro Bay. When I talked to the president of PERC, I said, is there anything in Morro Bay, the present sewer plant that you can utilize. And he said, actually, if we started from scratch, it would be cheaper than, you know, trying to piggyback or use parts out of the existing plant. And the point being was, when you're spending this amount of money, you could actually slide that off the oceanfront onto cheaper, better property at possibly less expense and open that up to a different use. It's just like building a sewer plant up in San Simeon, like they did right on their oceanfront piece of property, and all the yard and not Cayucas's. And so we're just looking for the best bang for our buck, and also if there's an alternative location where we can actually use that prime piece of oceanfront, you know, real estate in Morro Bay for the benefit of the city and the folks. That I think should also equate into this. And so without kind of going on, I think this is part of the factor is we could possibly slide this sideways and get a better animal and be a win-win situation. Thank you.
Bob.
Again, my name is Robert Stoller. We live just a bit east of the present sewer plant. And I already mentioned the concerns I have about odor and the sighting of the plant there. And I'd just like to bring to your attention the very fact that we just received notice that the Morro Bay Power Plant is dismantling their unused tanks. There are six of them that are north of the present power plant, and it's a fantastic location to consider as a place to move this. So while we're still in the process of developing a plan, in all reclamation work, you start with the land. What land are you considering? That area there where Dynegy is going to be dismantling these six tanks. It's a fantastic location. I suggest you take a look at it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Anyone else? All right, seeing no one else, do we have any other items we'd like to see on the agenda? I have a list here from the public speakers. Thank you. Anything else?
Mr. Enns, I'm not a public speaker, but I do have a question because I did not get to go on the tour. This morning at the forum, it was just someone from the public said that we would have to buy the plant back at the end. And I heard a speaker tonight say we would be given the plant. Could those of you who went clarify that between those two?
At the end of 30 years, it's your plant. There's no charge.
Okay. Thank you.
And to confirm, yes, there are exit standards that are part of the contract in Santa Paula, and they do turn over the plants required with a useful life of 5 years or greater.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other items for our agenda?
The question,
please do turn that on.
Here's right.
Well, you've basically, for everybody here, we'd like to get them down to apples and apples before we release them to the public. So to let you know, we are looking. We do have numbers. Their plant over the 30-year period, I think, it's, if they wanted to buy it out today, it was something like $84 million. So it's not cheap. But that's for a 4.2 million gallon a day plant. So, again, it's not fair to use numbers like that and compare them to numbers that we're looking at for the 1.5 million gallon plant. So we'll get to it, and we'll have some real numbers for you.
Thank you.
If I might.
Please.
Since we're talking about what happens at the end of 30 years, I asked that question to see what their experience had been with other places, and no one has yet reached that 30-year point yet, so nobody knows what they're going to do. I mean, Santa Paula is trying to buy them out early. We know that. And there was some talk about energy and how we were like fixed in at a cost. Well, that's why they have the CPIs, so they can adjust for those kind of things every year. So that's just something to know. It would seem to me that after 30 years, instead of people all of a sudden saying, oh, we need to hire.
All right. Any other items for the agenda? Does anyone have our date for the next agenda? I know there is one. June 10th. That'll be in Morro Bay. June 10th.
June 10th.
in Morro Bay. Time and location to be announced.
Don't we usually meet in the community center?
Yes. Okay. It'll put, Noah 6 o'clock? Had another agenda item, too.
Noah?
Yes. It's the agenda item that is carried over from our last city council meeting where we did talk about measurements of success and criteria. It's one of the speakers mentioned a real, basically a checklist of our values, our interests in the project. So we have the ability to then look back when the project's completed and ascertain our effectiveness and whether we've been successful with achieving those interests. We as a council adopted those and we're going to forward them to your board, the Cayucas side, to take a look at that list, make adjustments, additions if you felt it was necessary, and then the hope was that as a board we could come together, good way to orient the new members of the board. So that I would like to put on the future agenda item when you guys get to that.
Okay, I'd assume we could get that on the June agenda. I did have the opportunity to attend your meeting, and I would compliment Rob Schultz on his comments at that meeting. Rob, I thought that you were very on target as to what you said. If you care to repeat them at this time.
Can we play the tape?
Well, I'm sure you can come close.
And I don't have Noah's staff report on me, but, you know, he had a long list of issues that he's concerned about, including some of them you've heard today about odor and aesthetics and all those other issues we've talked about. And what I think I said was, fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, the city of Morro Bay has never done an EIR in the past, I think, 20 years. You'd have to go to the Cloisters for the last EIR. So, you know, I think we're fortunate in that because we don't have big development. But it's a document that when it comes out, I think you're going to go, whoa, a lot of those questions are going to be answered and discussed and comments on as to all of those issues are going to be discussed. But there's nothing wrong with having that also, that discussion a little bit. You know, it's going to be a very lengthy and in-depth document on all those issues that the community is concerned about. And, you know, we have valued engineering that's going to have to go over the MBR issue that we started in 2007 discussing. And the EIR has alternatives that are going to have to be discussed. So you're going to get at all these issues. I know you want to chomp at the bits and want to get to them now, but you will have many discussions about them.
Thank you, Rob. No problem with putting it on the agenda and discussing it, but I did want the public to know that, as Rob says, the EIR covers a multitude of things, and we'll be seeing that as it comes along. And again, all these documents that we read and look at are available to the public. I think Bruce just mentioned you could read just about anything on the website that we've looked at, so it is available.
Yeah, and I'd just add, I think beginning the last two meetings, the agendas, the staff reports are linked to the agendas when you go on the website, so you can download the staff reports as well prior to the meetings.
And Mr. Enns, the reference to the EIR, is that going to be coming out this year, Mr. Keogh?
I believe as soon as we can get an adopted project description to the environmental consultant, they will run with that, and we'll try and get a draft document out for public comments as well.